Hello. Today we're in Nehemiah chapters 7, 8, and 9. And we're going to see some interesting things in here. We've got another one of those long genealogies, lists of names to read. So that's kind of fun when we get into the latter part of, middle part of chapter 7. But after, it says, after the wall had been rebuilt and I set the doors in place, the gatekeepers and singers and the Levites were appointed. And I put in charge of Jerusalem my brother Hanani, along with Hananiah, the commander of the citadel, because he was a man of integrity and feared God. The gates of Jerusalem are not to be opened until the sun is hot, while the gatekeepers are still on duty. Have them shut the doors and bar them. Also appoint residents in Jerusalem as guards, some at their post and some near their own houses. They have now locked up Jerusalem. They have it where they can protect it, and that's what they want. So then it says, he says he looked around Jerusalem, basically, and he saw that they had rebuilt the temple. They had now rebuilt the walls, but no one was really living there. It was still mostly rubble. And so he goes through a long list now of, he says, So my God put it into my heart to assemble the nobles and officials and the common people for registration by families. So he finds this long genealogies of all the people that have come back from Babylon, and it lists all the numbers of people there. It says the whole company was 42,000 besides 7,000 manservants and maidservants. And they also had singers, and then they had all of their animals and things, some like that. And then in chapter 8, Ezra, remember Ezra? He's a pretty old man by now, because it's been about 50 years since the end of the book of Ezra. And he comes and he reads the law. So they bring everybody in and they set up a big tower, and all the people show up, and he reads to them the book of the law. And they realized as they're reading that they were at the point where they normally have the Feast of Tabernacles. And so they sent everybody out to get the palm branches and the leaves and things like that they made their booths from, that they lived in for 8 days. And so then they celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles, which is obviously something that they hadn't done for quite a while. And then we get to chapter 9, and reading all of this, the people start to realize that they have sinned. And so chapter 9 is this long dissertation on what the Israelites had done. So starting around verse 6 or 7, around verse 5, 6, it goes into about 2.5 pages of a recounting of what God had done for the Israelites and how they had fallen away from him and come back and fallen away. Verse 26 has a good summary of that. He says, but they were disobedient and rebelled against you, O Lord. They put your law behind their backs. I like that phrase. It's like taking the Bible or taking your prayer time and putting it behind you where you can't see it. And that's what they did, put it behind their backs. They killed your prophets who had admonished them in order to turn them back to you. They committed awful blasphemies, so you handed them over to their enemies who oppressed them. But when they were oppressed, they cried out to you. From heaven you heard them, and in your great compassion you gave them deliverers who rescued them from the hand of their enemies. But as soon as they were at rest, they again did what was evil in your sight. This is the story of the Old Testament. We're almost done with our reading of the Old Testament and the story. And if you think back over what you've read, it has been what I refer to as try, fail, try, fail, try, fail. Do you realize that? No matter what, it started off with basically one rule in the Garden of Eden, and they failed. And then Abraham is told he's going to have this great nation come from him, and it's going to be from his own loins. And he can't wait for God to give him Isaac. So he and Sarah come up with this plan, and they have Ishmael through Hagar. And then he gives Isaac. So then we have the battles between Ishmael and Hagar all along. And then you have the story of Jacob and all the problems he had with his sons. Why? Basically because he's got two wives and two concubines, and he's not letting God do what God intended to do. Now, is God got his fingers in all this? Absolutely. It's exactly what God's going to use, but it doesn't mean God approves of it. And then you get down into Egypt, and then you have the nation in slavery, and then they send Moses and the 10 plagues and the great deliverance. And then you get to Mount Sinai, and while Moses is up on the mountain getting the law, what are they doing? They're down in the valley building a golden calf. And then we go through the same thing with the judges, and the same thing with the kings, and the separation of Israel and Judah. Do you see all of this? Every time it's try, fail, try, fail. But God has, I like the phrase there, he says, in your great compassion, you have given them deliverers. The story of the Old Testament is that you need a new kind of deliverer, because the old kind of deliverance doesn't work. And God's doing this so that they can come to that conclusion. That's why Jesus is so pointed talking to them in the New Testament, saying, you are supposed to know the Old Testament. You should know who I am. You should be able to see me, but they can't. We'll get into that when we get into Luke. But then you get, by the end of the chapter, it says something what I think is very interesting. In view of this, this is the end of chapter 9, we are making a binding agreement, putting it in writing, and our leaders, our Levites, and our priests are affixing their seals to it. So they said, okay, we're not going to fall away anymore. Not going to do it anymore. We're going to write it down this time, and we're going to sign it, and we're going to follow it. Well, guess what? They don't. Big surprise, right? Where is the law written in for us? Where does God say he's going to do it in the latter days? Hebrews talks about this. It's written not in a document, but on our hearts. The seal is not them affixing their seal to the document saying, we affirm this. It's God affixing his seal in us through the Holy Spirit. I hope you can see that. That's what all of this is leading up to. But anyway, get through chapter 9 today, and tomorrow we're going to finish Nehemiah, and then we have one more book, and we'll be done with the Old Testament. I hope you're enjoying. Talk to you again tomorrow. God bless you.